God knows that you have some work to be done on you. Yeah, but he's using you. Many times what God is doing with you, your weaknesses don't spoil it at all. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You get it? Yes. You know, I have this little car. Recently I hear that the window is not going up. In one of them, like one side, the window is not going up. It came down and didn't go up. Wouldn't you have preferred that it will be up and it won't come down? But it never happens that way. It goes down and then it refuses to go up. But it's still moving. Because really, what it really does, I mean, the window not going up doesn't really stop it. You get it? Yeah, it's just going. You get it? This is California. It doesn't rain a whole lot around here. So every day I'm looking at it. It's a very interesting car to me. You get it? It's just something. You get it? It can be used. Can be used. The guy is like that, but he can be used. He can be used by God to do what God wants to do. So be encouraged. You get it? Be encouraged. I don't know what your faults are, what your struggles are, what you don't do so well, what you have been struggling with. Be encouraged that you are still useful in God's hand. And rather just crave his anointing. Say, Lord, just put something on me. Put something on me, please. Put something on me. Put something on me. Take something, Lord, from this man you have given me. And put some of the grace on me. So that I can also do something with my life. Amen. And I feel like God will answer such a prayer. Hallelujah. Let's read one more chapter before we go. Number 9 or so. Why some people never catch the anointing. You should want to know about this one, isn't it? Yeah. So why some people do not catch the anointing. There are some people who never seem to catch the anointing. They may be near anointed men of God, but they just never seem to tap into that glorious anointing. In this chapter, I want to share with you some reasons why certain people never become anointed. When Jesus was on earth with us, he ministered under the power of the Holy Spirit. Somehow, there were some people who could never receive from him. They were cut off from the anointing by what I call human barriers to the anointing. He went out from thence and they came to his own country. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." In this scripture, you will notice that Jesus was not well received. He was actually made incapable of performing miracles. The anointing could not flow from him into others. He could not heal people, and people could not receive from him. You see, people could not receive from him. Wow. In a similar way, there are people who cannot receive from some men of God.
It is a universal problem which exists in even greater dimensions today. The gift of God walks about in our midst, and we do not benefit from it. Why were people unable to receive? Why could the anointing not flow into their lives? There are several barriers that prevent people from receiving the anointing. These barriers are often the natural features and characteristics of the man of God. Any of these features could present a barrier that could keep you away from the anointing. The names, sex, tribe, and nationality of a person often present themselves as barriers to the anointing. Some people cannot receive from a man of God because of his family background. Just the mention of his family name puts them off. There are people who cannot receive from a woman. There are people who cannot receive from people of a certain tribe. There are Christians who cannot receive from people of other nationalities. There are many Americans who look down on a book written by an African. I hope not this one. They wouldn't even look twice at the material. I have interacted with ministers of different nationalities. Just the mention of Africa turns them off. I hope you are not like that yourself. Do you get it? Because you have some Africans who look down on anything that comes from Africa, including people that God is using out of Africa. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. That is one of the things that hinders even some of our own people from benefiting, because somehow there is a downward look. You see, there's a downward look. There is a presumption that if it's from Africa, it's inferior. You see? So it's a subtle presumption that operates and that affects, you know, it becomes one of the filters through which you look at and receive the ministry that God has given us, you know. And if you're like that, I want to tell you to be very careful. Do you get it? Yeah, because God is a God of the world, you know. Yeah, God is a God of the world. Africa may be inferior to, relative to other places in terms of certain things. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the anointing is not in that class. Do you understand? Anointing is anointing. Anointing does not know continents, doesn't know color, doesn't know nationalities. Do you understand? The whole world is made by God. Do you get it? Yes. It's just like, so when you have children, you know, their friends can see differences between them. Do you get it? Your children's friends can see differences between them and say that this one is my friend, this one is not my friend. This is, you know, but you, the parents, you like all of them. There's not one of your children that you can afford to say, oh, this one should just go away. No. Do you get it? Yeah. God does not throw anybody away. Yesterday I was telling you that God actually needs the diversity to express himself. Because all of us, when we start having children, we see that our children reflect different aspects of us. Our three children look like us in three different ways. Yeah. And if you like, keep having them. Yeah. I'm choosing the people in this area. If you like, let's commission these people to, we'll be here, and that every year they should bring us a new baby. Look, they will continue. Listen, they can continue up to 22. Yes, and no two of them will look exactly alike. That is when you're going to see the different variations, you know, of the expressions of femaleness in mommy. First of all, you're going to see she's going to have a son who looks like her. You get it? So she's going to bring up. You get it? She's going to. Listen. Because I think so far the score is 2-0. do you get it? Yeah. No, seriously. You let them keep having the babies. You see, they'll have, and each one will express another side of them. Each one, you see, each one comes up, it's a different variation. Each one is just, and just, you just keep making them. There, you will never get to a place where they say, oh, this one is a repeat of this. No. It will never happen. That is our God. Do you get it? Yeah, we are the ones who can't travel far enough. We can't go far enough in terms of creating the new identities. Yes. You keep making people, and no two people. Do you see? Look at your fingerprints. You see there's a pattern. There's a pattern. And no two patterns. Every time a new baby is made. We have recently developed computers. You get it? Yeah, that can create different designs and different. It's a recent invention. But the Ancient of Days, nobody knows what he's using to make this. Yeah. Nobody knows what he's using to do this. Yes, and the eyes. You know, now they have this iPhone that you can look at. Yeah. Yeah. If you point it to everybody's face, it will say locked, 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 locked. You keep pointing it to different faces, it will mind you. It is only when it gets to the right face. Yes, that's it. We are now discovering. Look how long it has taken us to know that we can actually use people's faces. So we are far behind. You get it? Don't assume that economies that have been messed up by sinful men. Do you get it? By the gluttony of human beings, the greed of human beings. Do you understand? Don't assume that it has corrupted God's anointing as well. No, it cannot. It cannot. It cannot touch God's anointing at all. It's a very human thing. But when you find anointing, whether it's in Africa or is in India, in Asia, whether it's in Europe, anointing is anointing. And it is authentic. And you better respect it. You better respect it. We better respect it. I hope we're being healed of that. Yes. Should never look down. If there's a meeting, is in Ghana or something. Oh, really? Is it in Ghana? Can't they just bring it over here so we don't have to go to Ghana? We should rather see that's a privilege. It's a privilege. That God is doing something. Where is he doing it? He's doing it over here. That's where I am. Whatever is there. Whatever is there. If that's where God is working, that's where you want to go. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Say, hey, Africa, would they do one here too? No, they won't do one here. It is wherever it is. Amen. It is wherever it is. Grow out of your phobia for Africa. Recover. Whatever happened to you in Africa, please, I beseech thee, be healed. And have some faith in Africa. You get it? A lot of people are beginning to discover treasures in Africa. When you get on the planes that are going to, especially to Ghana and Nigeria, see a lot of people who are going treasure hunting. I tell you, lots of people going treasure hunting. They can see dollars hanging, and a dollar is a dollar, whether it's in Africa or not. It's interesting that when it comes to money, people understand that a dollar is a dollar. Whether it was generated in Africa or wherever, it's a dollar. But when it comes to anointing, people don't realize that anointing is anointing. Whether it was generated in Africa or not, it's anointing. Yes. And it's as real and authentic as anything. Look, the man of God may speak with an accent. You see, an accent. Accent is a way that a language comes forth. Do you understand? Yes, and everybody, you know, depending on what their language, original language is, when they speak another language, can you get it? Yes. But that doesn't make the speaking of it inferior. You get it? Okay, so then between English English and American English, which one is superior? Huh? English English, because that's the Queen's English. Huh? It just shows you it's a stupid argument. Yes, that's what it is. And all of us must grow up and be accommodating of people's accents and people. Look, when somebody is speaking, listen to the person. Do you get it? And you try to understand what the person is saying. Whatever accent they are speaking with. Because in that what you call a mess of an accent, within that may be a hidden treasure for you. Yeah, somewhere hiding in there may be a treasure that you need to hear. Do you get it? Yes. God's wisdom sometimes is like a nut. And you have to crack open the shell to get it. That shell may be the accent. You have to open something to get to it. You know, so overcome that. Rather, you become more international. You get it? And you become more of someone that can be used by God among more people. When you are more open in your mind. You get it? About different people, different places, different foods, and different, and understand that the world is not just America. Oh. The world is not just America. Do you get it? The world is not just America. America is a place. But so is India. Yes. Yes. Every place is a place. God made. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. But in every place. In every place. In Acts chapter 10 it says, in every place, anybody who fears him and doeth righteousness is accepted by him. Do you get it? God accepts people. God accepts people from every place. You see? And I'm looking forward to us all becoming more international. I don't mean more American. More international. International. Yes, we can relate with people from any place. Do you get it? Because the more international you are, the more God will use you. Because the Holy Spirit is an international Holy Spirit. Do you get it? It says, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, you know, God, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, right? And then he says, but in every nation, can you see, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Is accepted with him. So God has people everywhere. You know, when they had GTW recently, Give Thyself Holy Conference, and they got this man from Sri Lanka. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, next week Bishop is in Sri Lanka, so if you want to go to Sri Lanka, yeah, it's going to that man's place. But that guy preached some wild message, man. Yeah, you think the anointing is hiding only in wherever. God has people hiding in corners with powerful messages. Yeah. So in every place, he that fears God and is and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. It's accepted with him. So you also learn to have an open mind like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? You speak the way you speak because of where you were born. Yeah. If you were born in another place, you, the same person, would speak some other way. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So all those things, just grow out of those things. And just speak to be understood. That's it. Just so that you can be understood. That's it. Say amen.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So, it says here, I have interacted with many ministers of different nationalities. Just the mention of Africa turns them off. I've noticed that some Western Christians see Africans as beggars. No matter the gift of God in them, African pastors are often seen as hewers of wood, drawers of water, pushers of carts, and carriers of bags. Do you see? This is unfortunate because God has anointed many Africans with gifts for the world. If you are the type of person who cannot receive from an African, you may be excluded from some great blessings. One of the commonest barriers to receiving the anointing is the color of the man's skin. Although God made all men equal, white people often cannot receive from black people. What I'm saying is true, and the proof of it is seen in churches all over America on Sunday mornings. Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week. Black people flock to black churches pastored by black ministers. White people rarely go to churches pastored by black men, and vice versa. Why is this? Once again, the human barriers at work. The man of God may have what they need, but because it's packaged in the wrong color, they will have nothing to do with it. What is the difference between a white man and a black man? Are we not all men? One thing which proves that we are all the same is the fact that you can transfuse blood from a white man into a black man without causing any problems. We are all Homo sapiens, right? The only difference between the black man and the white man is the amount of the pigment melanin found in the skin. Why should the amount of melanin in my skin prevent you from receiving the anointing upon my ministry? Could it be that you will miss out on the will of God because of the amount of melanin in somebody's skin? I have received many blessings in my life through people of different colors, race, and tribe. I have been tremendously blessed by Ghanaian ministers and also by Americans. God has touched my life through black, white, and yellow-skinned people. My life could have been very different if I had not opened up to all of these wonderful vessels. I once asked someone, what color am I? He was a preacher who taught a lot on the black man. I wanted to find out what category I fell into. You see, my late father was from Ghana and my mother is from Switzerland. Since I'm a mixture, I wanted to know whether I was seen as a white person or a black person. Unfortunately, this dear pastor placed me in one of these two categories. I wondered to myself why he insisted on putting me in one or the other when I was actually half of each. Why do we want to categorize people? It is this categorization that becomes a barrier to receiving from a man of God. What is his background? The educational or family background of a person, his qualifications, his personal history, and also rumors are some of the commonest barriers to receiving the anointing. Fortunately or unfortunately, God has decided to use human beings as vessels of his anointing. The human vessel will definitely have a background of some sort. This background may not be what you're used to. It may not be what you want. You may not like the tribe or family to which he belongs. You may not like the color of his skin, but God will still use that human vessel. You see, God has many vessels and he uses whichever he wants. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Isn't it? Because all of us also have, we all have clothes of different colors. They are all expressions of our preferences. Isn't it? Yeah. Then we also have clothes of different grades. They are all our clothes. But depending on what we are doing, some to honor, they go to church on Sunday. Some to dishonor, we wear them when we are mowing the lawn. But they are all our clothes. Isn't it? Yeah. What about his age? Is the man of God old enough for you? Is he too young? Is he too old? In the secular world, people need to be a certain age to do certain jobs. Usually, you have to be over the age of 40 to become the president or prime minister of a country. Because of such laws, people tend to think that anyone below the age of 40 is not qualified to be a leader. This is unfortunate because Jesus was only 30 when he began to minister. When the Levites in the Old Testament were 30 years old, they were considered old enough to minister. Numbers chapter 4, from 30 years old and upward, thou shalt number them, everyone that entereth into the service, to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Never forget that men's standards are not God's standards. He, Jesus, said unto them, God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Luke 16:15. Peter received from Jesus, he says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Acts 4:13. Most people quote this scripture to affirm the fact that Peter received the anointing by associating with Christ. What you must realize is that Peter received Jesus in the right way. Peter was very close to Christ and he could have become so familiar that he could no longer receive. He could have taken the anointing for granted. He could have perceived Christ as a mere man with human frailties. Do you think that Christ did not have human frailties? The Bible says that Christ took upon himself our infirmities, which is our frailties. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, Matthew 8:17. Judas would never have betrayed Christ if he hadn't seen him as a mere man. Who would want to betray God himself? One day the Lord asked Peter what people thought about him. Jesus did not ask those questions just to boost his ego. He was wondering how people were receiving his ministry. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He went on to ask Peter, what do you think about me? How do you see me? What is your opinion of me? The way Peter perceived Christ was very important for Peter's future ministry. That is why the Lord asked Peter what he thought. But whom say ye that I am? Peter gave one of the most important answers of his entire life. He said, I see you as a man of God. I see you as God's servant. He continued, I see you as someone sent from God into my life. I see you as my deliverer and my savior. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that not interesting? After interacting with the man of God for so long, you can still receive him as an anointed vessel of God. This is what the people of Jesus' hometown were not able to do. Jesus came to his own country and preached the same type of message. He came with the same anointing and the same spiritual gifts. But the first response to Jesus was to question his background. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. You know, I don't know if you've gone chasing one of these Jesus sisters and they didn't mind you. And next thing you hear, their brother says he's the Messiah. You say, the whole family is crazy. You see, you should hear how people talk. Is the man educated? Is he from the right family? Does he have the right accent? By the way, how old is he? Which tribe is he from? Is he tall? What does he look like? What kind of personality does he have? Is he choleric or phlegmatic? Can a woman do it? I hear the minister is a woman. Can a woman deliver the goods? Surely a woman can deliver, can never be as anointed as a man. Please stop it right now. As they say in Ghana, stop that rough there. The most anointed healing minister I've ever known about was a woman, Catherine Coleman. That woman carried a very strong healing anointing, yet she was not a man. If the sex of the minister is so important to you, you may end up excluding yourself from much of God's blessing. God may desire to bless you through a woman. The essential difference between a man and a woman is found deep within the genes. Women have XX genes and men have XY genes. This is a very tiny difference. Why should that little gene within prevent you from receiving a life-changing impartation? Never allow any of these human elements to become pronounced in your perception of God's servants. They will just turn into barriers to the anointing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I just want to take the opportunity to mention to you, especially the ladies, you know, because these days I have sort of heard some of the rhetoric from, you know, ladies about, you know, when Bishop is preaching, maybe he gives examples and he uses a lady or something like that. In fact, I particularly heard a lady say that, yes, Bishop engages in, I think he said, either wife bashing or women, female bashing or something like that. You know, you have to watch out for these demons. Do you understand? You get it? You can see what we just read. You can see what he really believes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And you have to be careful. I know exactly what I'm talking about. The ladies, you have to be very careful. It's an attack. Somebody has said that to you before. What is it?
The person said that, I like listening to the bishop, but I have a feeling he doesn't like women.
Every example is a bad wife. What about bad husbands?
You see, yeah. And one day when somebody said, every something is a woman, I said, look, every other example that he doesn't say is a woman, is a man. Yeah, any other example that he gives that he doesn't say is a woman, is a man. Yeah. You have to watch out for these evil spirits. Do you get it? Trying to erect barriers that don't exist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. You see, the Bible says in the book of James, it says, have not the faith of God with respect to persons. We have to stop this kind of thing and let the word of God be the word of God. If the word of God is being preached and the illustration more appropriately comes out through a woman, allow that example to be given. Yes, it's just the word of God. I mean, what does it affect the truth if the example is always a woman? Does it affect the truth? What about if it's true or not? I mean, what I'm saying is, does it matter? Because it's like, at a point, it's not even about whether what he's saying is true or not. Yeah. It is about the fact that he used a woman. Do you see? So it's a different spirit that is coming in. Yeah. It's a spirit that is fighting for, no, if you do this more, you must also do this more. Yeah. It's not even about right or wrong. So just because I've done this, let me also do this. So that there is a balance, even if it is not a good example. Wow. It's an evil spirit. Yeah. That wants to attack the preaching. Yeah. And that wants to just turn things into a whole different direction. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So, you ladies have to be very careful of that. It's a spirit that targets women in particular. Do you get it? Because no matter what people say, even about men, you rarely hear that men say, these people, they are against us. Yes, even with Me Too movement and everything going on, do you get it? Yes, the main culprits are guys. But you don't hear guys saying that there is a movement against us. No, do you understand what I'm saying? But if it was the opposite, if it was a lot of guys complaining about women abusing them, it would have come out that there's a movement against men and women. That is how it is. You get it? So just watch out for those things. Are you getting what I'm saying? I hope you are mature enough to understand the difference. Yeah. Understand it. You get it? That it is the word of God that is being preached. Nobody has appointed you as a defender of any particular gender. You get it? Yeah, no, don't become a defender of your gender. You just defend your faith. Yes, and become fruitful. Do you get it? And if whatever is being preached, if it applies to you, praise the Lord. If it doesn't apply to you, just keep quiet. Let it apply to those it applies to. You know, I see people who just watch people preaching. You know, I was saying the other day that if you go to the First Love Church and you are in the service, you will understand why Bishop preaches the way he preaches. And you will realize that he wasn't even talking to you, who is sitting somewhere in your city watching him on YouTube. It was a favor he did you so that you could actually get a glimpse that from that distance, you could also be blessed by the few bits of what he said that were a blessing to you, whatever it was. Maybe only one third of the sermon. Maybe only one third of the sermon. But that one third maybe made a whole world of difference for you. It was a favor he did you. But you were not supposed to stretch yourself into the two thirds that didn't belong to you. And use that to judge the preaching. Do you get it? And then use that to block yourself from receiving the next one. Which may be what will bring you deliverance. Don't take somebody's message. You don't know what he's talking about. You don't know who he's talking to. You don't know why he's preaching to the people. Yes. say, why is he always talking about fornication and whatnot? You go to the first love and see the place charged with testosterone and estrogen and the fight to separate the two. Do you get it? Yes. Estrogen that is trying to connect strongly. Have you tried to pull two magnets apart that are trying to? That's that type of environment. High stress, high tension. Eesh. Everybody's, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Hey, you get it? The whole job is every day like this, trying to keep it apart. Eesh. Wait. 6,000 of them. You're going to need some strong preaching with some strong words. Yeah. And then when they get married and they get together, that's when you see all the things they were also not taught at home starts coming up. It starts floating to the surface and it starts to destroy those same marriages. Yeah, from people who don't bath to people who don't cook, people, all these things. Yes, when you are sitting in your house, you don't cook and you have been, you have escaped. You see the thing? You have escaped. You don't cook. And you now somebody is preaching to his people who don't cook. You happen to be seeing it on YouTube and it has hit you. Instead of accepting it, you are saying that the person is preaching against you. How did he know that you don't cook? Yeah, you don't bath and you are feeling guilty. They're talking about somebody's bathing habits, and because it coincides with yours. Look, we are so blessed to have a preacher like Bishop who preaches the way he preaches. Yes. Raising up young people, teaching them what to do. A lot of people who are struggling today, if they were talked to like this, they wouldn't be the way they are. Yeah. You get it? From young people who hate their fathers to young people who are involved in all sorts of things. I mean, wild, wild things. Unimaginable. You cannot even imagine it. But there's a lot of evil. See, Apostle Paul said, I write to you young men because you are strong. Yeah. And the devil also has an attraction to young people. Because anything you want, if you place it in their hands, they would go World Cup with it. Yeah. Because they are like a bullet. They just need a direction. But if you shoot it, it's going to go straight. Yeah. Do you understand it? Yes. So get rid of that thing. It's an evil spirit talking to you. What will happen? What will happen? That evil spirit will only succeed in blocking, placing a barrier. That's what it will do. Yes.
After all that.
Are you getting it? Yes. No, we have to stop that thing. You get it? We have to stop. Stop that thing. And it's an evil spirit that will destroy you. It's going to destroy your home. It's going to ruin your life. And it's going to ruin especially your marriage. Do you get it? It's going to destroy your marriage. If you try to make two things that, you know, are not the same in that sense, in that context, you see the same and you are always trying to fight for a kind of equality, you know, where it doesn't exist. You get it? You're going to have a problem. You get it? You're going to have a problem. When I was growing up, people used to get up for ladies on buses and so on. These days, you get on buses, there's no difference between a lady and a guy. Yeah, that was just common courtesies that you would extend to a lady. You know, just to respect the ladyship and just the tenderness of the gender. You know, just to have a little respect for it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. You can see that the two are not the same. You get it? Even if you look at the skin, like if you look at my wife's skin and you look at my skin, you see that one of them is a little... You get it? Yeah. You see that it's generally... You see that thing? If I look at my toenails and I look at her toenails, mine are twisted and different type of thing. You get it? I don't need straight toenails. Yeah, once I got some toes, that's okay. That's it. But you see everything about the ladies, their toenails are—it's like they were made to be displayed. You get it? Yeah, they're made to be displayed. Yesterday I was telling you the woman was made for the man. So it's custom made. Most things about women are interesting to men. Yes, interesting to men. Yeah. You get it? Yes. Eh? Oh no, yes, this designer. I mean, they took the man's tastes and out of that is made a woman. You get it? Yeah. So most things about a woman is you see men staring at women, eh? It's because they were made for us to stare. They are beautiful. It's the Y in the X. So it's the X in the XY. That's what is. It's the X in the XY is the woman in the guy. Yeah. And they are intelligent too, you know. Are you guys following what I'm saying? Yeah. So do not fall for that. Do not fall for that spirit. Do you get it? Yeah. Do not fall for that. But rather be open. Do you see? And you see him. You should see him as a father. You get it? Who's talking to his children? Yeah. You're just talking. He and his children are males and females. Yes. And he's just talking to the children. What he has to say about the females, he will say. What he has to say about the males, he will say. And you will see that if you have children, if you have more than one child, you will see that they don't have the same problems. You can have one child who's very tidy and the other one... You see, you cannot, for equality's sake, accuse the tidy child of clumsiness. Yeah. Wow. Because you want to be fair. Yeah. So you see that for one child, every time you talk about him, it has to do with put your clothes, do this. The other one is sleeping. Sleeping. You get it? Sleeping forever. Do you get it? So every time you open your mouth in this direction, it will be sleep. You cannot say for equality's sake that the guy who woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up every time at 5 o'clock, but for equality and fairness, let's blast him also. You are just ruining your children's lives. So let the axe fall where it should fall. We don't have the same problems. You get it? Yes. And even when we have the same problem, they don't occur with the same frequency. You get it? Because human beings are very complex. The same problem does not manifest in the same way in across even the same gender. So we are blessed to have a preacher who can say it like it is. Yeah. Preach. Yes. And your turn will come. When you are listening to the preaching and is facing somebody, relax. Because your turn will come.
your turn will come. As long as it's the word of God, your turn will come. Yeah. A day when the preaching is against you, but you don't know. You don't know that because they didn't say it's men. It doesn't have to be men. You know, it doesn't have to be men. It's just preaching. Have an open mind. It's the word of God. Whatever the word of God says, just flow. Do you see what I'm saying? And you'll be blessed. Do you get it? We are reading. He is the one who is saying that, look, where's the thing? He said the minister is a woman. Can a woman deliver the goods? Surely a woman can never be as anointed as a man. Then he said, please stop it right now. Isn't it? As they say in Ghana, stop that rough right there. This nonsense must stop. That a woman cannot be used or cannot be as anointed as a man. He said the most anointed healing minister I have ever known about is a woman, Catherine Kuhlman. That woman carried a very strong healing anointing. Yet she was not a man. Is that there? Yet she was not a man. If the sex of the minister is so important to you, you may end up excluding yourself from much of God's blessing. God may desire to bless you through a woman. The essential difference between a man and a woman is found deep within the genes. Women have XX genes and men have XY genes. This is a very tiny difference. Why should that little gene within prevent you from receiving a life-changing impartation? You see, life-changing impartation. Never allow any of these human elements to become pronounced in your perception of God's servants. They will just turn into barriers to the anointing. What you must realize is that we are like specks of dust before God. We are of no importance to Him. He's not impressed by our human preferences. And He has no intention of impressing us. If you are too choosy, God will bypass you and give His anointing to a humble person who can receive. Who knows? Maybe God may one day use you to minister to others. Why should anybody receive from a mere human like you if you were not prepared to receive from other human beings? Drop all barriers right now. Open yourself to the Spirit of God. Receive the anointing of God as He blesses you through special human vessels. Do not let questions of age, sex, personality, color, tribe, family, background, education, or even rumors block you off from the anointing. Your life will never be the same when the barriers to anointing are gone. These barriers are in your mind. They are psychological obstructions to the flow of God's gift. Humble yourself right now and receive an impartation of the anointing through a human vessel. After all, you have no choice. That is the way the anointing flows. Yeah, you don't have a choice anyway. The anointing flows through people. Do you get it? Through people. And when people are being used by God, they'll be used by God. You know, one very powerful illustration Bishop gives is when he says that if you were drowning, someone threw a line out to you, would you ask, is that a man or a woman? Yes. Would you ask, is that a man or a woman? Black or white? Black or white? Do you have an accent? Yes. You see? Yeah. If you were dying and they had to transfuse some blood, would you ask, excuse me, is that black blood or white blood? Or what kind of blood is this? What do you think? Yeah.
Are we being blessed?
Yes.
Yeah. We read the whole book except for one chapter.
Wow.
And I think you should read that chapter when you go home. Okay? Yeah. Chapter about six giants received the anointing. How six giants became anointed. Amen? How many of you are determined to be anointed? How many can see that you can become anointed? Can you see that you can become anointed? You can become anointed. You can become anointed. You can catch the anointing. If it's on our Father, it can come on us. You get it? It is. If it's on our Father, it can come on us. Because it says, as a son with his father, as a son with his father, he has served with me in the ministry. We are partakers of his grace. We are partakers of his grace. And the grace is what is working. The grace is what everything we are seeing is the grace in action. Is the grace that's building churches, is the grace that is planting them, is the grace that is organizing crusades, is the grace that is winning souls, is the grace that is making people pastors, is the grace that is writing books, you know. And all these anointings are up for grabs. Yes. You know how someone can have his father's nose? Yeah, of all the features of his father, his nose in particular is like his father's. Do you get it? Yeah. So you can also pick a particular aspect of the Father's ministry and say, I like this. I like this. I like this. I like this. Yeah. Many years ago, I remember I said to myself, I like the way Bishop is able to explain the Bible. I think God gave it to me.
Yes.
I like the way he's able to, you know? Yeah. So you can isolate an anointing and say, I like this. I like this. This particular thing, it sits well with me. I don't know. I have an attraction to this. And God will give it to you. God will give it to you. If you can overcome all these things and all these cobwebs and clumsy things that try to form in our heads just to obstruct. Do you understand? Yes, just to obstruct. I mean, if you're a daughter in the house and you start thinking that your father doesn't like you, or doesn't, where do you think that is going to lead? You see, where is that going to go? Always assess a thought by where it will lead. Do you get it? Yeah, just look at what will come out of it. If you continue to think this way, where will it lead you? You see, that's how you know who has given you that idea. Do you see? Yeah. Thoughts that lead to separation, lead to isolation, lead to confusion. These are the hallmarks of things that it has the devil behind. You get it? See, in James, the Bible talks about a certain kind of wisdom. It says this kind of wisdom, I think it's chapter 3. He says, this kind of wisdom is not from above. Do you get it? Yeah. He says, it is earthly, it is sensual, then it is devilish. And he says, you see, I want to show you something. Bring it up. Let me show you. He says here, this wisdom descended not from above, but it's earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish, devilish. Devilish means it's like the devil. Because if you said it was red-ish, it means it will be closer to red. So devilish means there's a way of thinking which is closer to the devil. Do you get it? Right. Now look at the next verse. Next verse. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Do you get it? So it's like you look at the end effect to know that these two things that are happening are actually from the devil. Can you see that? as the conclusion is leading to confusion and is leading to different kinds of evil, you see, it is showing you the source, that it is a wisdom. Usually when you hear wisdom, it's something nice, isn't it? But now, it's showing us that you can have a nice thought that sounds clever and it's like wisdom, but its source, you get it, is devilish because of its end product. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It is a wisdom. Go back to it again. 15 and 16. Maybe even at 14. You see? So we can see. It says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife, glory not. Where's verse 14? If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Okay? This wisdom, verse 15. This wisdom. You see? Can you see his wisdom? Eh? It's a wisdom. It's a wisdom. Who doesn't like wisdom? Everybody wants. It's the principal thing. It's the principal thing. Do you see the thing? So everybody likes wisdom. You see? And if you just go by this, you'll be tricked. Because it is this, but it's not from here. Do you get it? It is from here. And this is the headquarters. Do you get it? It's earthly, it's sensual, and it is devilish. Then verse 16. Because the reason why he's saying it's devilish is because where envying and strife is, this is it. These are the characteristics of things that come from the devil. So we are not going to be deceived by its name. That the fact that it's wisdom, then we embrace it. Do you understand? Yeah, so that's if someone comes telling you, oh no, but you see that because in every message he's talking about ladies and this and that and that and that. It sounds clever. And then it sounds like wisdom. But look at what it produces. And then let that identify the source. That this is a thought from the devil. It's coming to separate me. It's coming to isolate me. It's coming to put a gap between me and someone I need. Someone who is a blessing to me. Someone who is a blessing to my family. Someone who is a blessing to my children. Think about it. If the devil can turn you off the voice of Bishop, he will shut off that message in your home. That means your children are doomed. Yes, if the devil is able to get your children to feel about Bishop the way you feel about him. It's just one of the ways to get your children. Yeah. And if you go to other places, you begin to understand that what we are witnessing with the First Love Church, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. Children who like church. Young people who like church. I mean, what they want to do is to go to church. And stay in church. They are looking for things to tell their parents so that they can go to church. They are playing the church card. Church card is how they escape from chores and all these things. They just use church ID card. Yeah. That's the excuse they have for not cooking. It's the excuse they have for not cleaning. It's the excuse they have even for not learning. Everything is church. Wow. When did it become like that? And where else do you have it like that? Where the children are fighting to go is church. Where they are fighting to go is church. It is our greatest blessing. I tell you, we could have been standing, going to police station after police station. Did I tell you that we had one of our church members in another country? He was deported from here, and his father told him that when he was being deported, the last, because he was in and out of jail, so much trouble all the time, and the father has bailed him so many times. The father told him that now you are out of my will. It's like I don't have in my will. I don't have anything for you. He told him that all that I would have given, I've used it to bail you. do you understand what he's saying? Yeah, it's like I've finished. You have used up your part of the inheritance. Yes, it's all in the bailing of you. Yeah. Yes. And the last one, when they bailed him out of jail, then the people deported him to his country. You know. Yeah. Sent him to his country. And he's there. So he cannot come here anymore. And his father lives here. But his father told him, also your inheritance are finished. Because all your inheritance has gone into bailing you. Yes. Lawyers have chopped all your inheritance. Look, we could have been going from jailhouse to jailhouse to bail our teenage children. You know, I can't believe that. You know, it used to be my fear and my dread that how am I going to raise teenagers in America? It used to bother me. But look, I've sailed through. Second one, 10, 20 last week. Wow. Out. You get it? 20. Yeah. You see? Yeah. Not even one day of trouble. No, I'm serious. Not even one day where you're wondering, where is the person? Not even one day, where is the person? You know, one day I was just in the house and I was just watching, looking outside in the window, and I saw, you know, the car parked outside. I said, huh, even me, as a Christian boy, growing up as a teenager, they couldn't leave the car outside. And the car will be enjoying peace. Like that. No. Car keys were never placed within our sight. We never saw. So to have children, you know, like the people are at home. They're at home. They know where the car keys are. They have no desire to go to any place except church. Ooh, it is too fantastic. We are living in miracles. Yeah, we're living in miracles. To raise up virgins in America? Yay! What are you talking about? Seriously, we are living in miracles. Do you get it? Yes. It's a gift from God. And it's all through this one man that God gave us. And his voice. And that's what the devil wants to shut up in your initiation. See, all some of you have younger children. They all like Bishop. Yes. They want to listen to him. Yes. Is it not true? Yes. They all can understand him.
Yes.
Just the voice. Yeah? They can tell. Yes. One time when we had a camp and I went past the J Church place, the kids were growing wild. The little children, they said, no, we want to see Bishop. They said, we want to see Bishop. Yes, Bishop should come there. It is the Lord.
It is the Lord.
Do you remember in I think it's in Malachi or so, it says he will turn the heart of the children. So I say, yeah, it's that's what we're experiencing. It's a turning of the hearts of the children towards the Father. That's what it is. It is. And what harm can he do to them? Do you understand? So fight all those demonic voices by looking at the conclusion. Confusion and every evil work is how you know that even though his wisdom is from the devil. Do you get it? Wisdom means it makes sense. But it's from the devil. It's from the devil. It makes sense, but it's from the devil. Yeah. What do you think? God is going to help us.
Amen.
God is going to work up. God is going to help us by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Just pray, everybody. Just take a few minutes and pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in our land. There's gonna be a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus, there Tonight we declare that we are members of the body. We are many, but we are one body in you. And Lord, we pray that as the body is one and has so many members, so we also, with many different branches, many different pastors, many different shepherds, minister shepherds from different parts of the West Coast and beyond, Lord, I pray that the oneness of the body will be our portion. One body with one life flowing through us. The same grace that is upon our Father Bishop Doug, let that same grace rest mightily upon all his sons and daughters, upon all that you have given him on every side, upon every branch, upon every work, every basenta, every center, every church, Lord, every gathering service, Lord. Let that same grace be upon us, that we may work together to fulfill what you have called him to accomplish. We know that you have given grace according to the measure of the gift. There's enough grace for the size of the gift. There is enough grace for the assignment we have been given. Remove all the obstructions to the grace, that we may be real partakers, true partakers. Wherever we find ourselves, Lord, let us partake of the grace that begot us in the name of Jesus. Tonight we lift this thing up. We lift this communion up, Lord. We lift it up against the evil one, against the work of darkness. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood. They overcame him by the blood. Tonight, devil, the blood is against you. It's against your works. It's against your maneuvers. Against your moves. Against your plans. Against your direction. In the name of Jesus, let this blood bring revival. Let it bring life. The Bible says, unless we eat your body and drink your blood, we have no life in us. Revive the life in us, Lord. Give us a new lease on life. Lord, renew our time. Renew our days. Renew our strength. As our days, so may our strength be. May we not run out of strength when we have days left. May we not run out of days when we have strength left. In the name of Jesus, multiply our strength and multiply our days. Be merciful unto us, Lord, and give us more time. More time to work for you. More time to accomplish, to attempt great things for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the anointing. You are the one we were told to wait for before we begin the work, before we start going round, before we start groups, before we start branches, before we start our evangelistic work. So Holy Spirit, come mightily upon us. Come mightily upon us. Let our fruitfulness begin as we catch the anointing. As we catch the anointing. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
body of Jesus Christ. He eats the bread. Say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to join hands across the room. Just hold someone's hand and just receive a blessing from God. The Bible says, thus shall you bless my people. This is how you bless them, on this wise, that the Lord bless and keep you.
Amen.
Said the Lord make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you.
Amen.
And the Lord give you peace all around you. This is the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
Upon every one of us, sons and daughters of this household, partakers of the grace that is upon Bishop Dan, partakers of the calling, people who have obtained a portion of the gift that is upon him. May we walk in that portion.
Amen.
May we not frustrate the grace.
Amen.
May we not be an obstruction.
Amen.
And a hindrance.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May we not delay the grace.
Amen.
May we not slow down the grace.
Amen.
May we not block the grace.
Amen.
May all things that cause frustration of the grace be eliminated among us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Let it all be removed. Where it is slow, may it pick up speed.
Amen.
Lord, where it is an obstruction, may it be cleared.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where we are not doing your will, Lord, may you help us to do your will.
Amen.
Where doors are closed, may you open those doors, Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Make us fruitful.
Amen.
Make us fruitful.
Amen.
In the places where you have appointed for us. Places where you have sent us. Places where you have established us. Make us fruitful, O God. Give us the grace for bearing fruit. Let something be upon us. Let the anointing be upon us. Because it's not by power and it's not by might. It's not just because we were willing to go. But we know that while we are there, we need your spirit. That is why Moses said, Lord, if you are not coming with me, I'm not going. Because it takes more than a willingness to go. We need your presence. In the name of Jesus. Let not your presence depart from us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Cast us not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. In the name of Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit be our portion. Let the Holy Spirit be with us at all times, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen.